Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service here, Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. Remember to join us in Zoom right after this, where you can meet some of your other Unity friends and be in discussion about the talk, hear music, and just enjoy some fellowship together. So with that, we are going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence, active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, November the 21st. The key word is grace, and the affirmation is grace is my constant blessing. I discover grace all around me when I open my eyes, my mind, and my heart to its presence. Grace reminds me that God's love is active everywhere and at every moment. Grace can be as quiet as a whisper. It's in the love I hear in the voice of someone dear and in the warmth and tenderness of a comforting touch. Grace is in the heartfelt welcome I receive when invited into a friend's home. It's the bliss I feel when I know I truly belong. God is the heart of all grace, as goodness and kindness in action, always mine to receive and give in kind. My growing awareness inspires me to share this activity of God generously by calling it into expression. The Bible quote is from Acts 20:32, and it reads, "And now I command you to God and to the message of his grace, a message that is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all who are sanctified." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So today's lesson is called Living a Grateful Life is Imperative. All right. And I just want you to understand that as I put these lessons together, I'm always searching for new information. And, you know, finding that new information really is conducive for, you know, having some discussion around these ideas. I know there's some of them are new to me, and they might be new to you. So, you know, if you feel to have some discussion around these when we have, you know, right after this and we have our Zoom fellowship, I look forward to that. Two words that you might want to look for today are inconvenient truth and inconceivable truth. So you might want to write those down and maybe make some notes that we can discuss after this. But anyway, you know, Thanksgiving is coming. You know, the stores are all jammed with people buying stuff for Thanksgiving. And, you know, for many, it will be a time of, you know, getting together with family, either locally or maybe you might have to travel. You know, they're saying this is one of the most traveled holidays of the year. And there's a lot of people who are, you know, traveling to be with family. But however it happens, it will be a joyous time as well as a possibly cautious time as COVID is still in the midst of us. And it's quite possible that our time of living in a pandemic has increased our sensitivity to being thankful for things and ways of being in the world that we typically before took for granted. So as we continue to move through a pandemic world, you know, how do we purposely shift into a consciousness of gratefulness? Okay. And in essence, you know, the Sunday lessons always have embedded within them this idea of learning to live from our soul as opposed to our ego. Now, that's kind of be the foundation of today's talk. You know, living from our ego or our persona, our personality, a lot of times some things we don't see to be grateful for, is what I'm saying. But when you're living from your soul, you begin to understand a whole different concept of living in a consciousness of gratefulness. And again, I'm defining soul as that aspect of our being which brings about the perfect union of our mind and our heart. Okay? And this typically cannot be accomplished without the conscious daily practice of living from this mind-heart connection in all aspects of our lives. And a huge part of this practice is consciously being grateful all the time, no matter what. Okay? Now, gratefulness being a state of mind that is continuously aware that we are always in God's loving care. So when I say no matter what, no matter what is happening out in the world, gratefulness is that we're always conscious of the fact that we're always in God's loving care. Okay? And yes, I agree that there can be things going on in our lives for which we are not grateful. All right, I totally understand that. But the practice of gratefulness is not about our challenges. Rather, it's about being grateful for our divine connection that's guiding us through all of those challenges. Okay? And living from our head or mind alone without a heart connection causes us to use our intellect to rationalize any fearful or unloving emotions we may be expressing. Okay? So when you're only living from your heart, without that your head, without that heart connection, it's easy to rationalize, you know, any fearful or unloving emotions we might be experiencing. So when you hear yourself rationalizing fearful reactions to a life experience, just be conscious of the fact this is an indication that your head or your mind is acting in isolation from your heart. And without the benefit and guidance of your soul, you know, that's the whole thing that's happening. So when your mind and heart are not connected, you're acting without the benefit and guidance of your soul. And yes, I agree that when life catches us off guard, we typically resort to our common way of reacting. Our mind acting without the benefit and guidance of our soul is typically a common practice. It's something we just do. And it's typically so common that it would take a monumental effort on our part to begin observing ourselves, reacting this way in everyday affairs. Okay? It's sort of like, you know, self-observation without condemnation. You'll see yourself, oh, wow, what I'm feeling or doing or saying or thinking, I'm acting without this heart connection. I'm acting without the guidance of my soul. So to be able to observe ourselves at this level of awareness requires a high degree of vigilance, because our common way of thinking is in fact just that, our common way of thinking. Okay? We're sort of caught in this way of being and thinking, in this whole study that we're doing is how do I break free of that? Okay? So in an article titled, I found this on the internet, called 8 Common Thinking Mistakes Our Brains Make Every Day. Okay? Number one in that is we surround ourselves with information that matches our beliefs. We surround ourselves with information that matches our beliefs. Okay? And so this statement applies to our preconceived beliefs about the outcomes of certain challenges in our lives. It's like we rerun the same old stories, okay? So stuff comes up. It might even look like different stuff, but we rerun the same old story about how we react or respond or feel about what is challenging us. Now, in this article, it was written by David McRaney. He explains the concept of confirmation bias, confirmation bias, and this is what he says. He says, confirmation bias is expressed whenever your opinions or beliefs are so intertwined with your self-image, you couldn't pull them away without damaging your core concept of self. That's powerful, right? Causing you to avoid situations which may cause harm to those beliefs, okay? Now, a misconception is that your opinions are the result of years of rational, objective analysis. That's a misconception, right? The truth is, your opinions, my opinions, are results of years of paying attention to information which confirms what we believed while ignoring information which challenged our preconceived notions. And this article expressed, without this illusion, half of advertising campaigns would not work, all right? And the reason for that is because advertisers spend time understanding what our personal belief systems are, okay? I think you've heard me say this many times before, that the advertising industry spends more money on the study of the human mind than any other organization, institution in the entire world. So they understand how we think, and then they create advertisements to fit into that belief system, okay? And this is because, again, advertising preys on our preconceived beliefs. And the big issue in terms of spiritual transformation, that's what we're working towards, spiritual transformation. The big issue in terms of spiritual transformation is that we are usually not awake or aware, that we are rationalizing and justifying ourselves in a way that makes absolutely no sense to spirit. Okay? In other words, all the rationalization and justification we're going through makes no sense to spirit. The divine presence in whom we live and breathe and have our being, right, makes no sense. Now, metaphorically, you know, just metaphorically speaking, you know, this universal presence we call God is most likely shaking its head and saying, if only you knew the gift of God. You get it? If only you knew the gift of God, you wouldn't be going through all that rationalization and justification, because it really, in the grand scheme of things, just makes no sense. And we have spent so many years in the mode of rationalizing and justifying our ego way of being that we have dulled our spiritual senses. Now, let me just say it again. We spent so much time rationalizing and justifying our ego way of being that we have dulled our spiritual senses, causing us to live without the divine guidance that would help us to understand that rationalizing and justifying our present state of being is not the way to Christ. Okay? Now, that's why I'm saying that a lot of things we're going to talk about go against the grain of our common way of being. Okay? And again, well, I'll get to those words in a minute that I gave you in the beginning. So consciousness, because it will not let us let go of who we are pretending to be, okay? You know, we want to get to Christ consciousness. But the state of mind we're in right now will not let us let go of who we are pretending to be, okay? Now, right away, you know, the ego goes, I'm not pretending. This is just who I am, okay? But again, from the perspective of what we're trying to get to, we're pretending to be something that, in truth, we're really not. Spiritual beings having a human experience, okay? So the ego way is to just, you know, the ego way is just too intriguing. That's why we're sort of caught up in it. It's so intriguing to just be us as we are. And it's most likely, but it's mostly that, you know, what we know to be right now. That's why we are. I am the way I am because that's what I know right now. So we need to understand that on this spiritual journey, we're trying to unravel ourselves from ourselves. Another way of my favorite saying, the ego is trying to jump out of the ego. And we're trying to do this so we can consciously choose the way of spirit. Not just sometimes, but all the time. And this is how it's explained in scripture. So all this I just said is leading up to this scripture in Matthew 13, 11 through 15. Now Jesus explains the insight we have been given by God. And this particular version of that I'm going to read is from the Message Bible, which has a more common everyday language. So it says, you have been given insight into God's kingdom. You have been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Now, not everybody has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. But whenever someone has a ready heart, and there's a key, when anyone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understanding, they flow through you freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. And that's why I tell stories. This is Jesus talking. That's why I tell stories to create readiness, to nudge you towards a welcome awakening. In your present state, you can stare into doomsday and not see it. Again, that's Message Bible language. Listen till you're blue in the face and not get it. Jesus says, I don't want Isaiah's forecast repeated over again. Okay? Now, This is Isaiah's forecast that Jesus was talking about. And it's found in, for those note takers, it's found in Isaiah 6, 8 through 10. And Jesus repeats this to the Israelites, which is found in Matthew 13, 15. And he says, in terms of spiritual understanding, this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn so that I can heal them. Okay? So this is the how-to in turning to spirit that we are pursuing in these lessons. All right? How do we turn to spirit so that our eyes will be open and our ears will be open so that we can turn to spirit and be healed? Okay? And when you say, well, what do you mean my eyes open, ears open? But the thing is, we get so caught up in our everyday lives that our spiritual ears and spiritual eyes are closed. You know, we've talked about that before. And so that's what Jesus is talking about, is being able to open our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, to hear beyond our judgment and our rationalization of what is happening in our lives. And I say again, as I always say, this study of transition from ego to Christ is not about condemnation. It is not about condemnation. But rather, it is about self-discovery and making different choices. Okay? And as the article expressed, it's about being able to embrace, here it is, an inconvenient truth. Okay? This truth is inconvenient because spiritual principles do not always make sense to us in our present state of consciousness. All right? So let me say that again. An inconvenient truth does not make sense to us in our present state of consciousness. But to repeat the title of this lesson, Living a Grateful Life is Imperative, it is a daily self-practice. It is the daily self-practice, okay, that will ignite a shift in consciousness. And again, I acknowledge that there are so many things in life for which we cannot feel grateful. Just be honest. But to think, just to think, right? At that moment, that's the point that we're missing, okay? The gratefulness we're referring to is not about the outer life. When we say there's so many things in life that I'm not grateful for, so many things happening I'm not grateful for, this gratefulness is not about the outer life. Rather, it's about the inner life. It's about developing a perpetual relationship of gratitude with a divine intelligence that is always watching over you and paving the way forward for you. Okay? So the scripture in Psalm 69:30 expresses, I will praise God's name in song and glorify God with thanksgiving. I will praise God's name in song and glorify God with thanksgiving. Now, praise is just one of the ways through which our spirituality is developed and expressed. Okay? Praise is a divine quality of mind. So it is not just an expression as in praise God, which we like to say, you know, praise God. All right? Praise is the way to discovering our divine nature hidden in our consciousness. And this is the way the Revealing Word explains it. Revealing Word says the purpose of praise is to awaken in ourselves a higher realization of the omnipresence and power of God. Prayer and praise changes us, not God. So the mental attitude that praise sets up stimulates, quickens, whirls into action, and finally establishes in our character the spiritual ideals we are striving for. Okay. So when you're saying praise God, or you feel praise God, that's what you're doing. You're stirring up that divine activity within yourself. Okay. So I repeat again, Psalm 69:30. I will praise God's name in song and glorify God with thanksgiving. And to repeat, our gratefulness is to be applied to the power and presence that guides and watches over us. But this whole idea of praise and thanksgiving can only happen when we are able to turn to the power and presence within us, especially when things outside of us are challenging our peace. And with so many of us already knowing this, let me say it again. I know a lot of what we're saying, many of you listening, all right, already know this, all right? So what so many of us already know, and it's our greatest challenge, is to be able to choose humility over hostility, okay? And that I think you understand that term. So the key to this shift from ego to Christ is a practice of humility, okay? Because our ego is high-spirited, all right? That's what I mean, choose humility over hostility, because our ego is high-spirited, which is why Jesus explained, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So now, hopefully that beatitude makes more sense. And remember, the kingdom of heaven being the realm of divine ideas. Now, if only we could fully understand the power of choosing the realm of divine ideas over the high-spirited nature of our ego, we would truly come to know the gifts of God in our lives. Okay? So the word humility expresses a way of being that's quite different from that typically chosen by the ego, which is why the spiritual purpose of the life experience is to transcend our ego self and awaken to our Christ self. Now, we're not getting rid of the ego self. We're transcending the ego self so that we can awaken to our Christ self. Then the ego self, the persona, the personality that I am, then becomes the instrument of spirit. Okay, that's what we're working to. Right now, we're the instrument of our ego. And you know the prayer, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. That's what we are striving for. So choosing God is choosing transcendence. We're talking about transcending the ego. Choosing God is choosing transcendence. And as I've shared before, transcendence is the level above self-actualization on Maslow's hierarchy. Man, if you put in Maslow's hierarchy into the internet and search it, where there were five levels, you'll now find there are seven levels, sometimes eight levels, okay? So this idea of transcendence has become kind of a well-known thing. It was something that I knew about, decades ago, because I accidentally came across it. But now you see it all the time in terms of the next level above self-actualization on Maslow's hierarchy. So self-actualization being, look what I have done, what I have accomplished, okay? While transcendence elevates us to the level Jesus expressed in John 5:30, I can do nothing on my own. I seek to not do my own will, but the will of God. And even though we can intellectually grasp this expression, this idea of humility, intellectually we can understand it. The question is, do we have the commitment to do it, live it, be it, in all aspects of our life experiences? So the answer is typically not without a greater understanding of the power that comes from being humble. Okay? If we haven't experienced it, if we have not practiced it, we don't really understand the power that comes from being humble. Now, if we go to Cahill Gibran's book, Jesus, the Son of Man, page 193, we read how Jesus demonstrated humility by washing the feet of the disciples. And then he asked them, and listen to this question, do you know what I have done to you? Okay, do you know what I have done to you? He washed their feet and then asked them, do you know what I have done to you? Now this question is a clear indication that he was teaching something that we all need to learn. The question has to do with position and status, which is a key driving force of our ego, right? So Jesus said to them, you call me teacher and Lord. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am, and for so I am. This is my position. This is my status. I am your Lord and teacher. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Okay? So that's kind of the concept of being humble, of humility. So when Jesus asks the question, do you know what I have done to you? It's important to remember that Jesus represents divine love in expression. Just think about that. Jesus represents divine love in expression. And metaphysically, the washing of feet symbolizes the denial and material position or status. And Jesus, okay, so let me go back and let me tell that again. All right, so washing of feet symbolizes the denial a material position and status. Okay, so it's not you have to go out and wash folks' feet, but it's sort of that concept of understanding, of working with the idea of denying material position and status. Okay, and you do that so that Jesus, divine love and action, okay, can demonstrate how to reverse your ego's need for position and status so as to bring about a different experience in your relationship with others. I hope all that made sense. Okay. And if it didn't, let's talk about it in the Zoom discussion after. So the main thing to understand about humility in the context of our quest for spiritual awakening is that it takes you out of the realm of the intellect with its need to rationalize and justify and places you in the realm of the kingdom of heaven, which is the realm of inconceivable truth. Now, I'm calling the kingdom of heaven inconceivable truth because if you are not open, as the scripture said earlier, is given to some to know and others not to know, okay? But the way you come to be the one who's chosen to know is by an open, willing heart, okay? So when you have this open, willing heart and you begin to tap into the realm of the kingdom of heaven, you're tapping into the realm of inconceivable truth, but you're also moving into a consciousness where you can begin to conceive that truth and how to use it in your life. So think about this when somebody says or does something which throws you off the spiritual path, you know, and causes you to shift from soul to ego, from heart to head, all right? This shift results in your experiencing some form of fear, maybe even getting your feelings hurt, which leads to anger, contempt, jealousy, pompousness, or whatever the expression may be, okay? We have in essence entered into the illusion in which there is a slave, master, or victim, victimizer relationship. When we let somebody knock us off our spiritual path, we are entering into the illusion of a slave, master, or victim, victimizer realm, okay? And when you detect that you have allowed this to happen, the key to shifting back from victim to master is to always remember that the person or situation confronting you is really only there to awaken you, to quicken within you one of your 12 spiritual gifts, whichever one is needed in this instant. Okay? Now, the person or situation is not there to make you angry or fearful, even though that is what it may seem is being done, okay? That's where our mind goes. Well, what's going on? Well, so-and-so did something, or something happened, this is why I feel this way. Okay? We do not need help with feeling fearful or angry, okay? Now, listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. We don't need help with that because we are already angry, all right? Just think to yourself right now about something in your mind that you're angry about, okay? And we don't need help with being fearful, okay? We don't need help with that because we are already afraid. Now, how do we know that we're already fearful and afraid? Well, because of the ease with which we become defensive, fearful, and angry, all right? In order for fear and anger to pop up so quickly, so easily, had to already exist within us before the person said or did anything or before the life challenge presented itself, okay? What we do need help, what we do need is help from our soul, okay, as masters, all right? We need help to learning how to function as masters. And why do we need help function as masters? Because slaves and victims of life cannot be grateful in all things, okay? Now, I'm not negating some of the greater activities that are going on in the world, okay? I'm talking specifically to us. We become the instruments that help others to see that they have the power to shift from victim to master, okay? It's through our practice. We talked about this in a couple of weeks ago, about we are all ministers, all ministering through the way we're living our lives. Okay, so we are seeking to move into the consciousness of master so we can demonstrate that life for others. And only masters of life can be grateful in all things. All right, We are defining a master of life as a person who is capable of maintaining a single focus by remaining grateful for the power and presence of his or her indwelling Christ in the midst of the people and circumstances that may be challenging him or her. Okay. And as we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 8, rejoice always, pray without seeking, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. And we all have struggled, or we are struggling with the situation in our lives. I bet you right now if we could have a conversation, every one of us, including myself, we're all struggling with something in our lives. So it may be difficult to accept Jesus' teachings to pray without ceasing in everything and give thanks, okay? But this is an example of inconceivable truth, okay? This inconceivable truth of being thankful all the time, okay, is what we are striving to make conceivable through constant practice. However, in John 13, we read that after Jesus taught the lesson of humility by washing the feet of his disciples, he said, now listen carefully, this is about being aware of the challenges that are coming into your life. Okay. He said, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. This is important. Listen, I do not speak concerning all of you. Okay. In other words, what's getting ready to happen for me, to me, I'm not speaking for all of you, okay, because I know whom I've chosen, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. And of course, he was referring to Judas. So Judas was necessary to help Jesus to achieve the final step in his spiritual transformation. And Jesus chose Judas for that role. And Jesus was thankful for Judas for the role he played in Jesus' complete awakening. So when Jesus brought the soldiers to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest him, Jesus said to Judas, and listen carefully, this is powerful. He said, you were patient with me. You could have done this yesterday. All right? Now, just reading that in Scripture, we may not even understand what that means, but that's a powerful lesson. Okay? Jesus is saying, yesterday, I wasn't ready, but today I am. He said to Judas, thank you. Because if you hadn't done this yesterday I wouldn't have been ready for this. But I've had time. Today I'm ready. Okay? And this is the meaning of the scripture, and everything give thanks, because as challenging as life can be, there is always a lesson to be learned about our spiritual nature that, if learned, will lead us out of the valley. And Jesus was expressing that the challenges that come into our lives come at the time we're ready for them. Believe me when I say, and I know this is an inconvenient truth, okay? Slaves and victims always moan and groan and wonder, why is this happening to me? Masters understand that the situation or person before them is there to awaken them more fully, to strengthen them, to turn them towards their indwelling Christ. But a slave or a victim does not understand the ways of mastery. A slave or a victim does not understand that if I overcome this challenge that is before me, I will become infinitely more powerful, more spiritually aware of the way I approach my life. And this was an understanding that was being taught to us by our Lord, Elder Brother, Way Shower, and Teacher. And even when Simon Peter drew his sword and cut off the right ear of the high priest's servant trying to protect Jesus from what was about to occur, Jesus said to Peter, put your sword back into your sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup which the Father has given me? Now, the cup represents everlasting life. To drink from the cup means to take on the consciousness of everlasting life, the consciousness of mastery, okay? And Jesus knew that he had to drink from the cup that was being presented to him, meaning he had to take the next step to enter into the consciousness of everlasting life, the next step to supreme mastery. Now, in our individual lives, drinking from the cup and entering into the consciousness of mastery is being able to live our lives without our mind and heart, or with our mind and heart working together, always focused on the unlimited abundance and divine love that God is. And yes, I agree that we do not find ourselves remembering at times that God, or should I say, we do remember at times that God is the source of our supply. We'll remember that. But if we have not made a strong commitment to drink from the cup of life and live from a consciousness of mastery, we will slip back into believing in the fear created by the challenges in our life instead of being grateful for the opportunity to awaken and grow to greater levels of mastery. Okay? So when we drink from the cup of life, as demonstrated by the life of Jesus, we remain eternally in the presence of God, meaning the conscious awareness of God in our lives and the conscious of mastery that knows for sure that only good can come into our lives regardless of appearance. Then we can truly say or sing the Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So Jesus thanked Judas for helping him to fulfill his mission, even though Judas did not even know what he was doing. And how many of us can raise ourselves out of the darkness of thinking, why are you doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? And into the light and love of the Christ, which would help us understand enough about what is happening to say, thank you for being patient with me. You could have done this yesterday, but you knew that yesterday I wasn't ready to deal with this. However, today I am. Today I'm ready to move on to the next level of mastery, and you are here to help me. But let's be clear about what we're saying here. This does not mean that we need to condone and excuse the negative behavior of others or remain in a destructive, unsafe situation. That's not what we're saying. On a physical level, we always need to get ourselves to safety and or call on those who can help us to be safe. But what we're saying is to not allow life circumstances or people to reduce us to being victims, because we are all masters who may have lost sight of that truth. But we are committing ourselves to returning ourselves, or actually, let me put it this way. We're committing ourselves to return to ourselves. We're committing ourselves to return to ourselves. I like that, okay? Which, what I'm saying is, we're committing ourselves to turn to our true self, all right? And for this understanding of what we're trying to do, we are truly thankful. So I'm going to end with this affirmation from Science of Mind magazine. It says, I pay attention and notice the wonder of life happening all around me. My life is filled with sacred moments. I know this because I'm awake and paying attention. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So Unity Family, let's center ourselves this morning in the presence of God's grace. You may close your eyes or take a downward gaze. As you sit comfortably, focus on relaxing your neck, shoulders, and your jaw. As you turn within to pause for a few moments, you begin to notice the pattern of your breathing. Slowly breathe in and slowly breathe out. As you slow your breathing, you also shift your attention to your chest, noticing the gentle movement as you breathe. Gentle expansion as you inhale and gentle contraction as you exhale. While continuing this gentle rhythm of breathing, you begin to relax the rest of your body a little more. And now please take these words as your own. From this place of peace, I open myself in mind and heart to the oneness with the divine within. In this moment, I welcome grace. Grace is the upward pull of the universe, active in my life. When I am restless, it soothes me. When I am fearful, it restores my faith. I bask in the feeling of that upward movement in my life. I feel my heart being lifted by grace. I feel my mind gaining clarity, understanding, and wisdom. This is the upward pull towards my highest and best. The pull of grace is showing me the next right step on my path. I rest in the sweet feeling of grace filling my body and mind from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. Grace lifts me upward. And now we will go into the silence without the sound of my voice, where you may pray, receive answers to your prayers, and be still. And now as you begin to return to the activities of your day, the upward pull of the universe remains with you moment by moment. We join each other and the world in this great upliftment. When you are ready, breathe deeply and exhale and join with your unity family. We are grateful, dear God, in the name and nature of Jesus the Christ, and so it is and forever shall be. Amen.
Thank you, Helen. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal lives to flow into our spiritual home. I ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your heart as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen.
Amen.
And now you have light notes.
Yes. Light notes for today, Sunday, November the 21st. The Advent booklet discussion begins Wednesday, November the 27th at 7 p.m. Check your updates to download the booklet. Our Advent series begins Sunday, November the 28th with a lesson and meditation on faith. Our special guest musician is Safi, and on the subsequent weeks we'll focus on peace, love, and joy. Christmas Eve candlelighting service is Friday, December the 24th at 7 p.m. Please join us for readings, music, candlelighting, and more. There'll be a special Zoom link for this virtual service. We are seeking readers and candle lighters for this service. Please contact April if you would like to participate. That's it.
Okay. All right, so now it is time to...
bless the path that we each will walk this week.
All right.
We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and
gusto
together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. Now our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well, and that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you the service today, and we look forward to seeing you in the Zoom session right after this. And, have a wonderful Thanksgiving if we don't see you in Zoom.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Enjoy your time with all your family. All right, and we will see you next week. All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.